But as we see, it also has a lot of lessons. Amen. So at the beginning of the book, Israel complained. They lusted. They challenged Moses. They refused to enter the promised land. They murmured some more. And then Korah rebelled. They murmured some more. And God sent fiery serpents. And of course, then we had the beautiful picture of salvation through the serpent of brass. Then a 4-chapter story of Balaam, which we just finished. So many lessons there. In chapter 26, God then had numbers. He had them count how many men there were. There were 601,000 men. This is the second generation after the wandering in the desert. And 23,000 descendants of Aaron, because they didn't get an inheritance, remember, in land, because they were the priests. In 27, some inheritance rules and God reminding Moses that he would not be allowed into the promised land. And then in Numbers 28 and 29, a review of the offerings, which we looked at back in the books of Exodus and Leviticus. But here in chapter 30, God gives them, and thereby us, a reminder about vows, making vows to God. So that's in chapter 30, beginning in verse 1. It says, "And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house in her youth, and her father hear her vow and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallow her in the day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. And if she had it on husband when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she had vowed, or which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect, and the Lord shall forgive her." So we have embedded in here not only the reminder about keeping our vows to God, but God now beginning to teach them about authority and accountability in the home. So a lot of lessons in these 8 verses. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight from your word. Lord, that if we've uttered rashly with our mouth a vow, may we, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, go back and keep it, change what we need to change. But Lord, we know that you hold us accountable. And I pray that we would get that tonight, and also that we would learn more in your plan for the home. And so thank you for teaching us through your word, and we love you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So we see that the father was allowed to disavow or undo his daughter's vow. It says there in, where were we? Verse 5, if her father disallow her, it says, her bonds wherewith she had bound her soul shall stand, and the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed her. So it's teaching accountability there, that while she is at home, as it says in verse 3, in her youth, in her father's house, that she's accountable to him, and he's accountable for her, and he can undo, if you will. Look at verse 16. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses, putting a man and his wife, wherein the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. So God is saying that the husband or the father can undo the vow. And if he does, God says it's okay. He will forgive that vow, and it's now annulled in the sight of God. You think about it, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That God allowed this, and that this is his rules, if you will, for vows. And then he said the same for the wife, didn't he? Down in verse 8, if her husband disallowed her, it says at the end of verse, her husband, or the Lord shall forgive her. So again, the husband was allowed to He didn't have to, but he was allowed to disannul or disallow her vow. And this is just a continuation of what God has started to teach them, even as we looked at this morning in Sunday school with the fall. In Genesis 3:16, we'll turn there. Way back then, in the fall, God began to teach that there would be order in the home. And it wasn't about superiority, it was just about order, as we all understand. And in the home, God said, verse 16 of Genesis 3, and of the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So we see that this was God's plan. Now, this is extremely unpopular in today's society, but this is God's infallible word from our Creator. Amen? Doesn't change. Over in 1 Corinthians 11, we'll see that Paul explains this as well. It makes it very clear that this is how God designed it to be in the home after the fall. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and that the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And down in verse 9. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Like we've been talking in Sunday school, it goes back to creation, doesn't it? Again, we find out how important creation, believing the Bible account of creation is. It's so foundational, because if the story is true, which it is, then God made man, but then he made woman from man. He made man from the dirt. He made woman from the man, for the man. And that also is in Ephesians 5, if you want to turn there. So God beginning to teach them early on about the home, about God's plan in the home. Ephesians 5:22, most of us know this passage, but wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, even in vows, which is pretty amazing that the husband had the power to disallow a vow. And then Titus 2, while we're in the New Testament, Titus chapter 2, verse 4. This concept, of course, is all through the New Testament, isn't it? Titus chapter 2, verse 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And of course, we get to 1 Peter 3, and it talks about subjection and all of that. The world likes to look at all this negatively, but we as God's children look at it positively. Amen? Because it's God's ways. God's the creator. God gets to set the rules. And these are the rules that he set out for the home. And in the context of the vows, he makes it very clear that the husband was allowed to disallow his wife's vow, and that the father was allowed to disallow his unmarried daughter's vow in the home. If she made a vow, he could let it stand, or he could say no. And both times God said he would forgive the vow. But back up to the beginning, verse 2. What about the vow? What about the vows themselves? This is big for Christians. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. I mean, we know that, you know, God expects us to keep our word with one another, but this is a promise to God. And early on now, he's teaching them, you're better off not making a vow than to make it and not keep it. And he actually says that. Let's look at it in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Just better off not to do it than to make the vow and then break it, or not keep the promise or the vow. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes 5, 4. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Now, God is not only talking about money, but that could be part of it. And David in Psalm 66 taught us about it too. If you want to turn there, Psalm 66 and verse 13. So God's teaching that we need to be careful. If we find ourselves, say, in trouble, I mean, we've all heard the stories, you know, people are about to die in a car wreck or whatever. Lord, if you'll save me from this crash, I will, whatever. I'll serve you. I'll go to church for the rest of my life, whatever. God hears those things, doesn't he? And he expects us to keep our side of the vow. Psalm 66:13, David said, I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. But look what he says in the next verse. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Sometimes when we're in trouble, we make a vow to God. We need to be careful. We just read in Ecclesiastes, better off not to make the vow than to make it and not honor it. David said, I made a vow when I was in trouble. But I have every intention, he says, I will pay it. I will keep whatever vow I made to God. And of course, we have some beautiful Bible examples of people who made a vow, and then God expected them to keep it. One that comes to mind, of course, is Hannah, right? So let's look at her quickly in 1 Samuel chapter 1. She made a vow, and God blessed her. And so she kept her vow. Notice 1 Samuel 1, verse 11. It says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. That's down in verse 28. So we know the story. She was childless. She went to the temple to pray because her husband had another wife and she had children and she tormented Hannah. And Hannah said, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. That was Samuel, the greatest Old Testament prophet that Israel ever had, was the child that came from this God honoring this. And she did what she said she would do when he was weaned. She took him to the temple, and he was raised by the priests and became a great prophet for God. But she kept her vow. Amen? Then we also have Jacob. If you go to Genesis 28, Jacob vowed a vow. His name eventually became Israel. Probably heard that name before. He made a vow here in Genesis 28, verse 20. He says, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I've set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Now go over to chapter 31 and verse 13. God now is speaking to Jacob. By the way, he called that place Bethel. And a lot of churches are named Bethel Baptist Church or Bethel Church or whatever. Comes from this story. Genesis 31:13. And the God of Bethel. I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of the place that you made the promise and lifted up the stone and said, if I can ever come back here and God takes care of me and watches over me despite all my enemies and so forth. And then years later, he says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. So was God listening when Jacob made a vow? Yes. And he reminded him of the vow years later. Jacob, remember this spot where you made a promise to me that I would be your God if I took care of you? Well, I've taken care of you. Even your brother who you were afraid of. You guys have made up. You're back at this stone, this Bethel stone. Now go where I told you to go. Keep your promise. Keep your side of the vow. And that's quite beautiful. But it also is quite sobering that God remembers. And if we've made a vow, he expects us to keep it. So when we're in the scriptures, if the Holy Spirit reminds us about a vow, what do we need to do? Get it right. Amen. He's waiting for us to get it right. And by the way, God doesn't drop it. God always keeps his vows, praise God. And we all claim his promises, and we could go through them tonight, couldn't we? We could let people share all the many promises that God has made and how they encourage us and help us through trials and so forth. Why? Because we know that God cannot lie. And if God made a promise, God keeps it. But he expects us to do the same. That if we've made a vow to him, he expects us, as he says here, back to Numbers verse 30, chapter 30, verse 2, he shall do, at the end of verse 2, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a man chooses to make the vow, and God isn't saying, I want you to make vows, that's not what he's saying, is he? Matter of fact, in Ecclesiastes, he said, you're better off just not to do it. But if you choose to do it, I heard it. That's what God is saying. And I expect you to not break your word. I expect you to keep it. He shall do. There's that key word, that word do. According to all that proceeded out of his mouth. He shall do it. And then he teaches us about the home. Now he finishes the chapter, if you go back there, by talking about widows and others. But in all cases, he expects us to keep our vows. Verse 11, all her vows shall stand. Every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Verse 16. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. So he's establishing something with Israel. They're about to go into the promised land. And he says, I want you to understand that if you make a vow, I will take note of it and I expect you to keep it. But again, he tells us in Ecclesiastes, better off not to make it than to make it and not keep it. So who knows? Maybe we've made a vow. Maybe we were in a tight spot, like David said, when I was in trouble. And we uttered a vow. And maybe the Holy Spirit will keep reminding us. Well, he will. You made a vow. I expect you to keep it. So the Bible says here, this is God speaking. He shall not break his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us about this truth. Something we don't talk about that much, but it's ever so important. And I pray, Lord, that we'll take it to heart. And if we've uttered a vow, Lord, that you would remind us and that you would encourage us to keep it and help us to keep it. And Lord, that we would be careful. You told us in the New Testament to not swear at all. And so may we be ever so careful about vows. And if you're calling upon us to keep it, may we do just that very thing. So thank you, Lord, for speaking to us from your precious and powerful word. We love